Here's a tip from Georgia Power. Always be cautious of water levels. Quickly go to high ground if you see or hear rapidly rising water. Learn more at georgiapower.com.
This is WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Coming up next, Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hessler. Welcome to the 100th episode of Art on the Air. Each week, we feature guests in conversation about their theory, practice, and current projects, as well as the state of the visual arts in our community. We bring in artists, curators, art writers, and art advocates to give us their take on what's happening around Savannah. This week, we've got Angela Burson in the studio. Her exhibition, Peep Show, opens this Friday, October 18th, over at Location Gallery. Plus, we've got a field note with Jose Ray. His exhibition, Flora, also opens this Friday, over at Sulfur Studios. And we've got a special second field note, a top secret field note, with someone that I think you'll be familiar with. We'll play that in the early part of the show. So let's get started with this week's episode of Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hessler. And this is Art on the Air on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. WRUU.org. And yes, it is episode number 100. Very happy to bring that to you. And we've got a great in-studio guest this week. Angela Burson is in the studio. Hey, Angela, how's it going?
Hello, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm so happy to have you here. You've been a favorite of mine for a long time, actually. I have to admit, Angela knows this, but I have a couple of her paintings on my wall, so that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Cool to have you in the studio finally.
Thank you for having me here.
We also got a couple of field notes coming up. As I mentioned in the intro there, we've got Jose Ray, who is having a show over at Sulfur Studios, and he talked to us all about that. It's called Flora. It's also opening this Friday along with Angela's show. Oh, you know, before I forget, Angela, what's your Instagram and Facebook again? Let's get the people that info.
My Facebook page is Angela Burson. B-U-R-S-O-N, and my Instagram is the same, all one word, Angela Burson.
Yeah, so you can check that out. We also posted up a bunch of her images up on the Art on the Air Facebook page, so if you want to follow along with that, that's a great way to get some images in your head while you're listening to her talk about those images. Now let's get into our first field note, our special top secret field note with, well, somebody that's probably been on this show more than everybody but me. Let's listen in.
Art on the Air.
Hey, this is Art on the Air. It's Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Welcome.
Who is this guy? Special guest, David Laughlin, for the 100th episode of Art on the Air. The prodigal son has returned back into...
Well, actually, you came to the studio, so it's sort of not really return, but...
I camped out in front of his studio overnight so that way that he couldn't ignore me. David,
yes.
We are in your studio here at City Market. And, of course, as part of being a host on this show, we're not really allowed to talk about what we've been doing. But, of course...
What you been doing, Rob?
We're not going to talk about what I've been doing. We're going to talk about what you've been doing at your gallery here at City Market. So tell us, first of all, where is this gallery?
Yes, this is a beautiful spot. We're above Belford's. I even use on Instagram the hashtag above Belford's. I don't know how they feel about that. But I'm looking over Franklin Square. I'm looking over Congress Street. We're in the southwest building of the four, I believe it is. I'm studio number one. It's huge. And glad to show my work and glad to show some guest artists. We have my parameters. are that I can show a guest artist once a month without having to go through the review system and all that jazz. And so it's sort of a continuation of we're promoting artists again.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And we're having teas as well. And
Sunday
having
tea,
performers
yeah.
come in and things like that on Sundays.
Tell tell us about Sunday tea. When does that happen? How's that? What's
Sunday, 3 to 6. And I like to broadcast something from around 4 o'clock.
On your Instagram?
And we're just going to do the Facebook and Instagram broadcast, yeah. But just something to show. Because we have different performers come up that I just like to highlight people who don't usually get a lot of recognition, for one thing. And if they're interesting, that's the criteria.
Mm.
It's sort of what we were doing before, except I'm in this studio now instead
right.
of that one.
And then you don't have to deal with me saying, David, what the heck is
going
on here?
I'd love to deal with you, actually. You could come by any time, have some tea, and we'd talk. As a matter of fact, it'd be great to talk to people with you. So, so I want a conversation is what it is.
And what's your Instagram for people who want to check out the live?
Oh, I can't even pronounce it. It's the id of Dav, THEIDOF. DAV. Why don't we just do a link?
Well, I mean, because you can't actually embed a link in an audio recording.
Oh, right. Here, can I click LOL?
Okay, there we go. We got it. Click that link while you're listening to this interview. Now, you've also got something else I think is really interesting. First of all, the gallery is, as you said, huge.
I would say huge. Yes.
It is
parlor style.
Yes,
parlor style.
Definitely.
By the way, yes.
Definitely. Very comfortable. And when you first walk in the door, is this going to be the world's smallest gallery?
That's right. We have the world's smallest gallery, and I have applied to Guinness Book of World Records for this. I've looked this up. The smallest one on record now is 3x4 foot in Indiana. This one is, what would you say, 2x2 foot for the gallery itself?
The base
of the gallery is about, 3x3?
At biggest.
Yeah, that sort of makes the yard. We have small trees up. We have little benches inside the gallery. I have a bunch of the miniatures that I've done over many moons. And so they work really well within this. And that's also open for displays from guest artists who have miniatures as well.
It's great. I mean, it looks like a model of a gallery, only it has actual real paintings in it.
Yeah, I like the little trees out front.
I know.
See,
it's a
and
lot
the
of
little
fun.
Sand walkway up to the door and the honeycomb shaped door.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What is this? A gallery for ants?
What is this?
A center for ants!
It's unique. Well, like I said, I had a bunch of miniatures, so... Well, what do we do with that? Well, let's make a miniature gallery. That way it can travel around as well. So it can make appearances for birthdays and weddings, by the way.
Oh,
so, my website.
Yes, oh.
My website also, if you'd like to look at work, is much simpler. It's idofdav.com.
Idofdav.com. Very good. Anything else you got going on, David, that you want to let these people know, our hundreds of thousands of listeners
yes.
that you helped to build? Although
I miss you guys. Let me say that. I really do miss that. But I've had to concentrate on some other things for a while, and now I'm concentrating on this. And I still have the key to the door at the radio station, so I can come in anytime, Rob.
I changed the lock so that way David would not do that.
Well, Jeff, I can sneak in. You'll see someday when you least expect it. But you're always welcome here, of course, and so is everyone else. Come to City Market. City Market's going to be cool.
Come down to City Market. Visit our good friend David Laughlin. Thank you for coming and appearing on the 100th episode of Art on
Yay!
The Air as a part of Field Notes. Thanks, Dave.
My pleasure. Thanks. Love y'all. Take care. Come visit.
And, of course, that was our interview with David Laughlin down at City Market. And I miss David. I miss his beard, mostly. That's the main thing I miss about David. But I got a chance to see it down at his City Market gallery. Gallery number one, which is pretty cool. And that world's smallest gallery that he has put a call into the Guinness Book of World Records to try to do, I really hope he gets it. I think that would be a pretty cool thing for Savannah and for City Market. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And he wants to curate shows for that. So if you got some really tiny pieces, David has, as he mentioned in the interview, has the opportunity there to bring in guest artists without having to go through the normal approval process. So maybe you could be the next artist
in the world's smallest gallery. Thanks, David, for coming out and talking with me for the 100th episode. That was a lot of fun. So let's get to our in-studio guest today. As I mentioned, we've got Angela Burson here. Real quick, actually, I should do this. You're listening to Art on the Air on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. I am Rob Hessler, your host here. And as I mentioned, we got Angela Burson in studio. Angela, let me read your bio here, give a formal introduction to the show. We've already said hello, but Angela Burson is a visual artist working in a variety of media, including painting, drawing, sculpture, and needlework. She is an alumni of Savannah College of Art and Design, where she received her BFA in painting in 1991. A native of Liberty, Missouri, the Savannah, Georgia-based artist has exhibited her work across the U.S. and abroad, including at the Leedy Volkos Art Center in Kansas City, Missouri, the SCAD Museum of Art, Kobo Gallery, Location Gallery in Savannah, and Gallery Most in, you're gonna have to help me with this one, Podgorica, Montenegro? What's that?
Podgorica, Montenegro.
Podgorica.
I think. Oh my gosh. It was a long journey, so I'm not 100% sure I'm saying that correctly.
That's very cool. Her latest exhibition, Peep Show, opens this Friday, October 18th at Location Gallery, 5 to 8 p.m. Angela Burson, let me give you a formal welcome to Art on the Air today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. You know, as I mentioned, I've been a fan of Angela's work for a while. In fact, the paintings that I bought of hers were from a show at Nonfiction Gallery, which is no longer around, but that was kind of part of the Art Rise Savannah trifecta of Art Rise, the sort of the Art Walk, Nonfiction Gallery, and then Savannah Art Informer. That was very cool, and picked up those pieces there as part of that group show. That was back in 2014, so it was really cool to finally now have you on this radio show for episode 100.
I'm honored that you are a collector.
So let's talk about your work then. I think this is let's take a step way back, because you know you sent over your CV, your list of shows that you've been in, and it is very impressive. It's actually 2 pages long, y'all. It's there's a lot of shows here. And I want to take a step back. And how did you, you know, obviously you went to school for art, but how did you get involved in art initially? Like, what were you, like one of those kids that's just like instantly into art, or did you kind of find it as time went on?
I always enjoyed making art, and I took some art classes at our local museum in Kansas City called the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. I took classes. I never really thought I was any good. My sister was the artist in the family, and she was great. She could draw and paint, and everything looked real. And I just thought that I was terrible, but I enjoyed it. And I had to take one art class in high school. I took it at the very end of high school.
Okay.
It was a disaster. And then I went to college, and I had zero idea what I wanted to do. I went to a small college in my hometown called William Jewell College.
Okay.
My parents kind of made me go there. It was free for me. And they said, just go there for a year and then you can go wherever you want.
So I see.
I took an art class, and the professor would set up these still lifes, and I would draw them completely wrong. Like, my angles were way off. Mm-hmm, plants looked like monsters. My filing, I remember there was a filing cabinet, the angles were just wrong. And he said, he brought it up in class, pinned it up, and he said, like in a critique, he was like, this is all wrong. But there's something really great about it. Like, there's an energy, there's a boldness, like all the mistakes were just like really made hard, you know?
You were all in on the mistakes.
I was all in, and that just, it made me really happy, just knowing that it didn't have to be perfect. It didn't have to look like, you know, what I thought art was supposed to look like, which was kind of photorealistic, and, you know, a bird should look like a bird, and...
Right, so like you had you didn't necessarily have the technical expertise, but you had like the spark in you.
And I thought, I love this. Mm. I remember I was terrible, but I loved it. And it was like the first thing in my life that I felt like I loved. And in that, throughout that whole year.
Well, yeah, your parents make you go to college. You're like, eh.
Well, I mean, I wanted to go to college. I just had zero. They were like, you should be in PR. I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like, when you're like, that's the dream of every right. high school. I want to be in PR.
They're like, you're good with people. You're friendly, you know. And so I just remember that. And then knowing that I wanted to go to art school. And so I ended up going to the Savannah College of Art and Design after that.
Very cool. So, yeah, so that spark led you to say, okay, you know what? I'm really going to try to do something now that's art, very specifically art related.
Right. Yeah.
Well, okay. So then you transition to SCAD, and I'm kind of curious here, like, at what point do you start to develop this sort of new century modernist kind of style? Because, like, you know, as I was mentioning to you before we went on the air, I got your, you know, your CV, and I had kind of been aware of your work for the last couple of years. And I don't know, I guess I just had this idea in my head that you looked like one of the characters from your painting and like, you know, like you're maybe kind of fresh out of school or something like that. And it's very, I don't know exactly how to put it, but you've actually been in, I mean, your show list here starts in 1993 and goes to Friday, right. This coming Friday.
Yeah.
So, like, how did that your style sort of develop?
Well, I started working immediately, like, as soon as I got out of college. And even in college, you know, I feel like I was exploring a lot of the same themes in my work. Like, if I look back at my work, there's a lot of similar things that are happening. In Savannah College of Art and Design, I remember doing a dresser in a room. And I lived on an old house on Jones Street, and I paid like $200 a month rent.
Just forget about that. Don't listen out there, that kids. That's not happening.
So I had this, and the apartment was in this huge mansion, and it came with its own dresser that was like stinky and, you know, mothball-y. But it was beautiful, and I remember doing a painting of it. Like it was something, like an object that you would want to just have a painting of.
Okay.
And that, when I look at my work now, I mean, I do that now. You know, I have just an object, a piece of furniture in a room, like, and I put newspaper on it because I didn't like the way the paint looked. So it created this sort of pattern.
Okay.
Which is also something that, you know, I always do in my work. I you know, kind of cover with this flat pattern.
Well, so what you're saying is that your subject matter, the kind of subject matter that you're even using today, it was like really instinctual from that early on.
Yes. I remember in a critique at SCAD, I did someone's golf clubs, and they had a plaid bag and the leather straps, and, you know, they're very old school. Mm-hmm. And someone said, whatever you paint, it looks like those were like Roy Rogers golf clubs, or like they were had some celebrity like feel, like this weird antique, like ghostly, or not ghostly, but the sort of quality that made them seem like they were magical or special in some way, even if they were just a little, you know, set of golf clubs sitting in a corner.
Well, we're kind of talking about the philosophy of your artwork. So I want to ask this question. We, at the end of the show, we're going to have a three big questions segment, but I think that this is a question that was submitted for that, but I think fits in right now. And this is actually from my mom. So I'm going to give her a shout out, Karen Gilman. She asks, does your artwork represent something about you? And I kind of wonder, like, that because they're almost honoring objects in a lot of your paintings, I wonder though, like, you say that dresser and you sort of had this connection, but I'm wondering, like, and you just used the word magical, like all these objects are magical. So I'm like wondering, how does that?
They are, I would say most, not all of the work, but a lot of it is autobiographical. The things in them mean something to me. And that might not, obviously a viewer isn't going to know that about what the actual meaning is for me. But like in a painting that I have on, I think it's one that Peter used as the show card, Peep Show.
Yeah,
it's like a dresser. It has a vanity. It has like a little doll and a wig. And that's sort of based on this childhood memory experience that I had with my grandmother's vanity. She had a vanity and it had a doily with a brush, a comb, and a mirror that were like fancy and silver. And then she had a wig that I was absolutely never allowed to touch. And I would just sort of beg her, like, please, can I just comb my hair? Can I just comb my hair with your beautiful silver comb? And she, you know, let me. And then
put it back, you know, and it was like this sort of just this very
right. Like,
it was off limits to me.
Well, your work does feel precious to me. I think that there is something like, I don't know, there like the objects all feel very consciously placed mm-hmm. and precious in that sense. And I think it really, you know, it really suits, like you talk about the dresser that you did the painting of, but you didn't say, I did a painting of a dresser. You talked about the story of living on Jones Street, $200 a month. And like you go through the story, like it's invoking the memory, mm-hmm. not just what the painting itself is.
Right. Yeah. I think all the paintings, I put them together in a way that it's not really representing a real space, but things are meaningful within the space.
Right, right, right. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Art on the Air on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. I am Rob Hessler, your host, and our in-studio guest this week is Angela Burson. Now, you graduated from SCAD in 91, but then you also moved to Savannah in the early 2000s. So like you had a period where you were away from Savannah and then you came back to Savannah and then you started kind of getting involved in the local Savannah art scene. So let's talk about that period of kind of coming back and getting back into Savannah and saying, okay, well, now I live here and I'm really going to engage with the community. So how did that kind of work? Like the transition back
well,
to Savannah?
Well, when we moved back, I think I entered a show at Gutstein Gallery, okay. which was Red Gallery at that time, and it was called Cross Currents, and it was a show that was supposed to be about water or the ocean or something like that. And I did all these paintings of ships.
Mm.
And it was, as you know, I'd been painting this whole time. So in Missouri, I was painting. I was having maybe one show a year. I had little kids, so I had a pretty busy life. But I always tried to just have this like one show or just, you know, really stay involved. And so moving to Savannah gave me more opportunities because we were living in this like tiny little Missouri place that didn't have a lot of show opportunities.
Right, right.
So I was like, this is great. There's so many artists and so many cool people. And, you know, SCAD was there and I felt...
You already okay. had a connection going coming back
yeah,
to Savannah.
Since I was as a SCAD alum, I could enter these shows and things like that. And they used a lot of this work for like a design project in a magazine. So I sort of got connected right away through SCAD to doing these projects.
That's
and then
great.
I feel like it just took off from there.
Right, right, yeah. right. Well, but I think what's interesting is like you're mentioning you get these reconnections through SCAD, but actually in recent years, like in the last 5, 6, 7 years, these shows are not really related to SCAD whatsoever.
No.
I mean, a couple of, you know, being involved in a couple of shows at the old Space Gallery it was called the Department of Cultural Affairs then, the gallery space that's there. Obviously, you've done a ton of stuff with location galleries, so you obviously transitioned to a certain extent from doing predominantly SCAD-based projects into doing projects with the rest of us.
Yes. yes.
And so which how did that work out? Yeah,
well, I wanted to read, like, I didn't want to just do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many people that said, you're an artist, you know, and I've been making work this whole time, but no one really knew because it was just sort of filtering into, you know, a project here or there. And I wasn't really having shows, so I thought, I'm going to make an effort to go. And, you know, so if I see a community opening, you know, that says we're looking for submissions for the show, I just start entering everything. And then I started to get to know people outside of that SCAD community.
Right, right.
But it took, you know, it took a few years. It just happened naturally, though.
Right. And I mean, I think also, you know, around 2008, 2009, the recession closed a lot of galleries and things transitioned a little bit. And it's really been since kind of the last 5, 6 years, like Art Rise coming around, DeSoto Row, Sulfur Studios becoming established, and now, of course, recently Location Gallery and Peter and getting you involved. I mean, you've been in, I don't know, half a dozen or more shows with Peter now as well.
I think,
Peter Roberts of Location Gallery.
And Tobia Makeover, uh-huh. she introduced me to Peter, so I have her to thank for that.
Very cool. We've had Tobia on twice before. I love
Tobia. She sent an email saying, you've got to know Peter, you've got to know her, and vice versa. So
oh my gosh,
great.
The two of you are a perfect combination. It makes perfect sense that you'd have the show at Location Gallery opening up this week. And I do want to get into a longer discussion about that work, because I The exhibition is called Peep Show, and it opens up this Friday, October 18th, over at Location Gallery. That's at 417 Whitaker Street in the area known as Middle Earth, is what I've been heard it's that it's called as far as the art areas. But let's take a really quick break here, and we will get right into that. On the other side of the break, we're going to dive right into talking all about Peep Show. Let's get back to our in-studio interview here with Angela Burson. And as we mentioned, we've got her in the studio mostly because I really just wanted to talk about her art, and I needed a reason to talk about her work because, as I've mentioned at the beginning of the show, I am a big fan of her work. We want to talk about her exhibition, Peep Show, which is opening this Friday, October 18th, over at Location Gallery. That's at 417 Whitaker Street. Let's talk about the show. So, Peep Show, that's kind of a provocative name. Where does that come from? What's the premise of the show?
Well, when Peter and I were talking about this, we were actually thinking of, he was going to make some paper cutouts that would cover the artwork, and he would open the door and look at the work. Well, that seemed like actually not that possible, or maybe we'll do that at some point, but...
the two of you, I would just say in the future... Let me say that I would be very supportive of that idea. I think that sounds very cool.
I think it's a very fun idea. I think it would take a lot of work on his part.
Yes, it would. Get to work, Peter.
So, yeah. I was thinking of the idea we still kept of the Peep Show, which is kind of like looking in on something, mm-hmm. which makes sense for my work because in a way you are looking in on a little room, or you are looking in at a little scene of some kind.
And I would like to point people towards the Art on the Air Facebook page, where we've posted up several promo images that Angela sent our way. Or you can also look up Angela Burson on Instagram, and that is a good way to check out some of her work. And she also has a Facebook artist page, which we've also shared on the Art on the Air Facebook page as well. So you can find an easy link there, or you can just look up Angela Burson. You can see a lot of her images. And yes, there is that feel of you're looking in on some... thing.
And I made a few with that in mind, so that I haven't posted on anything, so you're going to have to come to the show to see them. Mm. One is a UFO parked in a garage.
Okay.
And then there is also a shower scene.
So it's funny. I talked to Peter about you coming on the show. I said I wanted to get you to come on the radio show, and Peter Roberts and I are good friends. And he said, your work is a little naughty, is how he described it.
I think there is a little element of that, but also I think I have a sense of humor.
Okay.
And, you know, so some may be more serious than others, but I do always try to have a sense of humor, and I play into the weirdness. Like, I love it when something weird happens. When I'm just putting my composition down and I have something that's really off, like a lot of times if I am doing a head, which I know there's been a lot of talk about headless people.
We're going to talk about that.
But when I do a head, sometimes the like one eye is much larger, or, you know, an angle will be really off on, and the chair will look like it's floating, and I use all those mistakes and weird. I love the weirdness because I think that's what it makes it unique or different. And it also is just a little bit off.
And that's what I was about to say is like when I look, there's one of the pieces that we posted up, and it's kind of a bedroom scene, and there's it's called Rabbit is the name of the image, and there's all of these rabbits, and there's a cat in the window actually, and we can maybe talk about that, but the perspective is a little weird, and I'm like looking at it, but it's like, it's not weird in that you're looking at it and saying, this person has no idea what they're doing. It's super well rendered, but it's weird and off enough that it makes you just feel a little uncomfortable looking at it. And I'm assuming, and that's kind of what you're saying, you're going for that.
I am going for that, but I'm also, that is happening naturally. So I'm not trying to correct it, though. So I put down an idea, and I usually do it pretty quickly. And in that case, I was looking at Frida Kahlo's hospital bed in her Henry Ford painting. And I mimicked the bed from her piece. And then I put my own guy in it. And I put this little character in the corner that I wanted to be like a little ghost, or maybe you're not sure if that person's really there or if it's they're dressed in gray and they have a LaMalle haircut, like a mullet with blonde tips. So you might have to be really old to know who LaMalle is, but he did like Never in the Ending Story.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, we had one very observant listener, Brian McGregor, who noted the bed was the Frida Kahlo bed, because he was saying that he had seen the documentary or either the movie Frida or the documentary, and like noticed the similarity there, that bed was in there. So that's really interesting. So shout out to Brian McGregor for figuring that out.
Good job.
This made me think of something, and this is one of the questions that somebody submitted for Three Big Questions, but I think it's appropriate now. Lisa Rosenmeyer asked, how would you define your art style? Because I'm sort of, we've been kind of like dancing around that a little bit. And I said sort of that mid-century modern look, right. But it's not, that's not quite right. You're using some of the like furniture kind of looks like that. But... Right.
And I'm using the furniture to create sort of a time period or almost like a context. I don't know if that's the right word, but so... I don't know. That's a hard question. I feel like it's a little surrealistic because I am making it up, and I'm not saying I'm not trying to be realistic. But then I just don't know, honestly.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I've had that happen for me before when so I have this gallery that I work with in Los Angeles, and they Lois Lambert Gallery, and they asked me, well, what style is your work? And I was like, I don't know, you make it up. You know, and they had to kind of come up. So Peter, tell her what her style is, and we'll just go with that, right? I mean, because it's hard, yeah. I think, for us. And, you know, we're talking about your paintings now, but, you know, you do embroidery and sculpture and all this other stuff. And so it's like, oh, let me put myself in this little box.
Right. It is hard. And it's hard to define yourself with us, you know, having a style, because it seems like something for an art historian. To come in
later down the line,
when
right?
you can see who's making what at different times in you know history. And so I can't say that I am aligned with, say, a surrealist, because that happened a really long time ago.
Right.
So, but it has elements of that. And then it also has, you know, I think of like David Hockney and things like
I could see that right. For sure. Yeah, for sure. So what can people expect at the opening reception? I mean, what have you got? I mean, obviously, you've kind of gone away from the actual Peep Show, but you mentioned, you know, there's going to be this piece of a UFO in a garage and the shower scene and stuff. So you're kind of planning some little surprises for the viewer.
Well, I kept the Peep Show thing in mind the whole time. And I actually made all this work after, I would say, early summer. So
you've made all of this all like of within this. The last five months?
I had started a lot of things earlier, but, you know, I had commissions and I had things that I had to do. And so I got in a car wreck on June the 7th, and I couldn't work at my job. So I had just been painting like crazy, because that's all I was able to do, because I had broken some bones, and it was luckily so it was my left arm, so my right arm was fully functioning,
hence the painting about the broken arm.
Yes, and that one's called Car Wreck, and I list and the date of the car wreck, so the sling means something.
Well, and that certainly answers the question on whether or not you're putting yourself into these paintings. I mean, that's a very literal, you know, event that happened during the process of making the show.
Right. And I had earlier in my paintings, I have slings in them, like an arm sling, because my friend Bill had rotator cuff surgery or something, and I was looking at him and thought, oh, that would be a great thing to add to my work, because I like the idea of injury and imperfection and, you know, perseverance and things like that. So I had painted the sling, and then it actually happened to me. So
maybe you shouldn't people were like
making that comment that maybe my art happened to me.
Oh, that is really funny. Yeah, you should be careful. Be careful from here on out.
Yeah.
I think this is a good opportunity actually to ask a question that was another one that was submitted for Three Big Questions, which I think is appropriate now for Michael Mahaffey. He mentioned your compositions seem very well thought out, but maintain an air of ease and flow. How much planning do you do before you start a painting? Is there a lot of preliminary sketching, or do you jump right in? So for Peep Show, did you just like sit down and start making work, or were you doing a lot of
planning? Yeah, I jumped right in. I just took some vine charcoal and just drew it on the. I didn't think about it at all. I would draw it, you know, immediately, just what I thought it should be, and then I kind of worked out the angles and the, you know, which chair I wanted or. You know, if it was a dress or a suit or something like that.
Do you start with idea, or are you starting with like composition and then kind of like...
I start with an idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, and sometimes I have on my computer, I have a file that says source material. And if I'm not sure what I want to do, I just start flipping through my little pictures. And it might be random things like a trailer or a vase or a chair or a dresser. Or, you know, maybe a portrait, a doll, a toy, I just have all these weird things that somehow like spoke to me, and I keep them in a file and I bring them out when I feel
the urge.
When it's time, right?
Well, yeah. That's interesting. It's like almost like the modern day like sketchbook. Like you're just, and I know people will do that with like Instagram. I'm working on a project right now where we're just throwing out like videos and songs and images, and we have these folders, and it's just this huge list of source material, but there's literally one sketch and the whole project is put together by gathering source material in that way. So that's really, I don't know. That's interesting.
I with my needlepoint, which I don't think we have any images up, but
I'll
do
a
really fast. No, I have one piece I could put in. Maybe I'll ask Peter if he wants to.
Stick this on the wall.
it might not match, but I will just draw it out really fast, and then it'll take me months to execute it. So sometimes I'm like, why did I? This is such a stupid idea, and I'm spending all this time. And they usually turn out all right, but it's funny that the idea part is fast, and then the commitment to the idea
always
is, you know, a very long process.
Well, and your work is so well refined, and it's like, you know, the colors are all perfect and everything is where it needs to be in just the right place, and so I think that makes a lot of sense. We've been talking a lot about Three Big Questions, so I think we need to get to that. I want to get to that segment. We're kind of running a little shorter on time than I would like, so I want to get to that real quick. I just want to mention again, you're listening to Art on the Air on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. Let's get to Three Big Questions.
And now it's time for Three Big Questions with your host, Rob Hessler.
All right. Well, we got through a number of the questions that were submitted, but I've broken it down to three questions. And I think that we need to ask this one first because it got a lot of play on Facebook when I posted this up. Why the lack of heads?
Well, first of all, not every painting is lacking a head, but I started cutting off the heads when I didn't want it to be a specific person. At first, it represented me as a figure, and I thought of it more as a mannequin. And then you don't have this identity, like, oh, this is Angela, or this is my sister, Alexis, or, you know, you don't just come to it with an assumption about who the person is. And then I started giving them cameos, like the little jewelry.
Oh,
like, and I would give a little face in there, so it was almost like an identity, but I still cut off their head. And then I like putting the tags in the collar, And I think one of my first pieces.
I've seen that in your pieces a lot. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sometimes I'll put my initials in there or like a little lightning bolt or, you know, I did a pair of underwear for Peep Show. I just put L for large. I just have fun. I have fun with those little details. And I think that's what makes my work fun and interesting for me, is to have all these little details and messages and strange little things that happen.
Right. It's like for yourself.
It is. And I love it. It's just like, how can I make a tag?
It's also fun to you know, for when other people see that. I love your answer there. It's interesting because we had Lisa Rosenmeyer on a couple of weeks ago, and she was, of course, the artist who was in Location Gallery before your show. And she talked about the reason why she used animals is because she wanted to take away like gender and specific people and just stick to the message. And like, you're doing a different way, which is much more disturbing.
And I'm still, I mean, I feel like I am actually doing the opposite, because they are very gendered. Like, there's a dress, which you think of as being something a woman would wear, when, you know, it could be anyone really wearing it. But I also, then I might give them like a power tie and a, you know, money. Like, I give them power and money with a purse, or, you know, I'll like start to add these little things that I think of as making this person powerful.
That's awesome. You know, as somebody who's been a fan of your work for a long time, it's so cool to get all these little background details. It makes it even more exciting. And when you're mentioning this, I'm like thinking about pieces I've seen of yours over the years. And I'm like, oh, the tag, that's right. And like the little details. And so that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be fun for the people who come to the show to take a look and try to find those little top secret little things. That'll be a lot of fun. Well, let's get to this question from Heather Young Dolinar. I think this is Heather Young is a very good artist. And most recently, she's been on the show before. She had an exhibit over at Grand Bohemian Gallery this year as part of their Savannah series. She asks, all of your characters are so well dressed. Who inspires your fashion?
Well, I have this book called 100 Years of Menswear. And I love it. And I get a lot of my suits. A lot of times I will also make up the fashion, but I'll look at some of the details from this book. It's all about menswear. So I just make them into women or, you know, or sometimes men. But that is where I get a lot of my fashion ideas. And I love ties and patterns, and so it's I make up, you know, I use this sort of, I have a form which is like a suit and a tie and a collar and sort of Victorian things, but then I choose the color, and I, you know, I sort of curate. I'm almost like a fashion designer in my own painting, and I think of myself as an interior designer with my my little scenes too, you know. I just get to have fun actually creating these things without having to sew them or make them or like.
Well, and like you mentioned, doing the sketching for the embroidery project, and then you're like, oh my gosh. So that's just a little a taste of doing doing actual, you know, fashion design and making those pieces.
And I love doing that repetitive, the patterns, the sewing. I love all that repetitive part.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Well, we've got one more question here. Our third question, and I have to admit, I'm kind of annoyed by this question, but we're going to have a discussion about it. I only got a couple more minutes, but I think this will be the perfect way to finish up. What is your favorite color? Do you like soup? If so, what is your favorite?
Oh, my favorite color is probably like a mossy green.
Okay. His was green as well. So okay. Adam Messer, who asked the question, is a host on this station as well on Sundays. So a mossy green is your favorite color.
And I do like soup. I really like a fresh tomato bisque with a baguette with lots of butter on it.
I mean, that actually sounds a little bit good, but you're wrong. Soup is disgusting, and you should just throw it in the trash. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have today, Angela Burson. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Let me give all the details of the exhibition again. Of course, it opens, Peep Show opens this Friday, October 18th at Location Gallery. That's at the Austin Hill Realty Building at 417 Whitaker Street. That's going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be a great show. I think it's a perfect, it's a really good night. You got your show, and then there's Jose Rey's show at Sulfur Studios. So hit up location first, then head down to Sulfur Studios, hit up that show. I think that's a great pairing for that night.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much, Angela. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
That's all about all the time that we've got for the show today. We're going to finish up with our field note with Jose Rey talking about his exhibition, Flora. Next week on the show, we're going to have a couple of representatives from the Savannah Clay community to talk about what they've got going on. It's going to be a really interesting conversation. Looking forward to that. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next Wednesday and every Wednesday to Art on the Air on WRUU-LP Savannah, Georgia 107.5 and streaming worldwide at WRUU.org. Here's Jose Rey.
Rob Hessler here with Art on the Air Field Notes. I'm with Jose Rey and special guest, second interviewer, Kerry Williamson. Jose, we're in your studio now. What you got going on?
I have a lot of paintings strewn all about the house right now, getting them wall ready for the show at Sulfur. The show will be up the 17th through the 19th from noon to 5 each day, viewing hours. But the reception this Friday, 6 to 9.
October 18th.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's the name of the show?
The name of the show is Flora. These are all floral-themed mixed-media works, large scale. The largest one is 4x5, and the smallest is 2x2, so all just a range of sizes within that general square footage.
And we've posted the opening reception event on the Art on the Air Facebook page. Now, some people might be familiar with the style of your work from your show last year at Henny Penny, but you've really taken it to another level with these pieces. So talk a little bit about that.
Why, thank you. It's good to be on that next level now. Before that last show, I was always working larger with murals and things on a really large scale. So I knew I always wanted to get there, but there was such intricacy and drawing detail on those. I was kind of exploring and figuring out my working technique with those smaller pieces, knowing that if I really got into it, I would want to take them to this larger scale. And so now it's great to see them here now and see them doing how I really envision them.
What can people expect from the reception? Because these are really, I mean, they're huge, and they're on panel. They're not framed like the other pieces were. This is like kind of a very different experience, sort of, as a viewer looking at these. So what can people expect at the opening?
Well, as you said, the scale of them is to, like, and working as a muralist, I'm always thinking about design and the way something hits you from across the street or down the block. So there's some of that aspect of just taking in this large splash colorscape that's on the canvas, but as you walk up to it, you start to realize these other little intricacies in there, and they're actually little, almost like those smaller versions you talked about earlier. There's almost a lot of those within each one of these large pieces, and that's kind of the idea, that you can view it from back afar and see it as this just large kind of design, and then get in further and see all these little intricate worlds and these little moments within there.
You know, it's interesting because we're in your studio right now, and there's these pieces are everywhere. I mean, they've literally taken over the downstairs area of your house, and I kind of wish that, to a certain extent, that the viewer could be, like, walking in here, because I do feel like I'm in the middle of all of these pieces.
Well, that is a great segue to the fact that I'm going to build an installation at the show also, because these are, I guess they're technically landscapes, but they're more details of landscapes, I would say. So I want to pull all these little elements or these little vignettes of landscapes into one larger landscape or environment. So what you're feeling right now, I want to recreate for the guests there. And I think probably even in an even more impressive manner, where you're not just like, part of your landscape is my wall of records and there's my like bags of Blick varnishes and stuff all over the place and a cat running wild in the house.
Well, I think we could probably add the cat in. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty fun. Just these wild felines running through, like, these little floral elements.
Well, I was thinking about the fact that I listened to your last show, and it really reminds me, you were talking about how you wrote your last book and you did all of your pictures first before you wrote any words. And that's really what I was thinking about when I looked at all of these. I was like, these could very easily, it looks like, just have come out of a book, like a kid's book, a very fantastical world that you've built. And I wonder, did you bring any of that illustration when you were thinking about those books that you wrote? Did that influence any of this that you're doing now?
Nice, that's a great tie-in. And I wouldn't say a direct correlation there, but there's always this kind of whimsy and fun kind of element to it. And sometimes I'm looking at these, I'm like, okay, are they getting too, like, fantastical, like, too Seussian? But, I mean, that's just kind of what I end up doing anyway. So I'm like, don't fight it. And what I've realized is that the more I can let myself go, that's what keeps me in these, is I start with a rendering. Like, I'm rendering a flower or a group of flowers. But the watercolor lends so much to abstract form that kind of implies organic shapes that represent flowers. Mm-hmm. I can let some be just these little splots, little splatches here. And because I've rendered a group of them, it's implied. There's like the suspension of disbelief there that those are flowers.
Right.
So then I can also go in and just noodle, where I'm just doodling, which I was doing a lot when I was at SCAD, and I've always been really interested in, but hadn't quite found the best vehicle for it. And I think this is it, where I can just do like meditative or intuitive drawing.
Yeah.
I can do that within here. So that keeps me as the artist, like my drawing for drawing's sake part that I really get something from.
Well, I want to ask you about that particular term. You've used this in almost every time I've interviewed you, the term noodling. So noodling. Describe what that means for you.
Well, I guess some people might call it doodling, but it's just when you're, I always reference like when you're in class or you're at work and you're there, you're listening, but you're just kind of like doodling or noodling on the side of your page. Like that's for me what that is. But the way I was doing it, I wasn't necessarily drawing pictures. They would almost be like mandala drawings where I draw a shape and then draw a shape off of that and draw a shape off of that and shape. And they just keep doing that until you get into the groove, basically. And that's what I like find I can do with these. Starting's the hardest part, right? You're like, trying to get this thing. And as soon as you get past that logical, that headspace, then you can, then I realize I'm just on the floor. I'm noodling.
Well, I mean, it's a funny term, but these works are beautiful. They're incredible. And I do second Kiri's notion that it does sort of feel like you're creating a world here. And I think it's going to be a great exhibition. Jose Rey, the exhibition is called Flora. Thank you so much for being on Art on the Air Field Notes today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Happy 100th episode.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate that.
That does it for this week's episode of Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hustler, here on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. You can catch Art on the Air live every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can also catch the last 10 episodes of our show on the WRUU archives. That's at www.wruu.org/shows/art-on-the-air. And again, you can listen to the last 10 episodes there, including this one. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch up with you next week, where we'll have another great artist on the air. Love hurts. I'm young. I know.
Here's a tip from our friends at Georgia Power. Never make your own electrical repairs to Georgia Power equipment. Let our crews do the dangerous work for you. Call Georgia Power at 888-891-0938 to schedule a repair.